This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. So I have a challenge to speak for about maybe half an hour. I'll try to even cut it a little short, but asking the most complex and problematic questions. Question: why does evil occur? I want to start with a story. In the old days, there was a man who had horses. He would breed horses. And one day, his son, who was around 18, 20, goes and checks on the horses in the barn, makes sure that they have the food, that everything is in place. And then the man hears a scream. So he rushes to the barn in a state of panic. He finds his son on the ground and in excruciating pain, screaming out of pain. And it turned out one of the horses kicked his son and injured him severely in his leg. To the point that his leg, for the most likely, would not be functional properly for the rest of his life. So they tried to do whatever, apply whatever medicine they had at the time, medical treatment. They get medical help. And then the following day, a friend of the man visits him. And he sees him so sad and depressed. And he says, "What's going on?" He said, "You know, I don't know why this type of evil happens to us." Then he tells him about what happened last night. So he says, "This is evil." The man asks him, "How do you know?" He says, "What's evil?" He says, "My son's injury." He says, "How do you know it's evil?" He says, "It's evil. What else could it be?" Time goes by. A few weeks later, the king of that territory wages unfair and unjust war on another state. And it seems that according to the numbers, that it was a desperate war, and most likely it was going to end up in an obvious defeat. But again, the king waged that war, and the call goes out for all young men to join the army. It's more like a compulsory conscription, right? So everyone who is above 18, he has to join the army. And obviously, normal people, don't want to send their kids to this losing war, and there would be a high chance that they would lose their children. And people depended heavily on their children, by the way, for their well-being, because people lived out of like their work in the farm, simple crafts and things like that. So they depended heavily on handing down their craft to their younger children through generations. And when the parents got older, you know, their children would take care of them and so on and so forth. So the call goes out, and then all males above 18 and above, they were taken to war, and it was a disaster. So the friend of the father visits him again, and he says, "How was the injury of your son? Did your son go to war?" He said, "No." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because of his injury." He said, "Was the accident evil or not?" It got the man thinking. So I don't promise today that I will be able to answer this question for you, right? But I promise that hopefully, inshallah, I'll try to get you thinking about evil. Because we seem to ask these questions without even, having what it takes to be able to ask this question and get an answer from them. It doesn't seem that we are actually looking for an answer per se. The question is not coming from a genuine intellectual thirst to know where evil comes from. And hopefully, inshallah, this will become clearer. I have a question first for you. What is evil? And you can answer by putting your hand up. But you know what? I don't want you to answer evil. You don't answer something by reference to itself. So you don't say evil is bad things, because bad and evil are pretty much synonymous. So you want to, and don't say evil is the opposite of good. That's again another sort of a cyclical definition. We want a definition, a clear definition. What is evil? So that before we answer the question, why does evil occur, we need to agree on evil. And I think, it's my guess, that you will see that we don't even agree on evil. We don't seem to understand evil, but we have the boldness to even ask a question about evil, why does it occur, when we don't even have a clear image or a clear mental image of what evil really is. So what is evil? Don't be intimidated by my introduction. We are all on the same boat. So, yes. Anything that what? Anything that pleases Shaitan is evil, right? Okay, that's actually good. Anything that pleases Shaitan is evil. But here that means, in order for you to know if something is evil or not, then you need to know what pleases Shaitan and what displeases Shaitan. And if you don't know, you won't be able to recognize what's evil, right? Okay, cool. Good start. What's evil? Sisters, same chance. What's evil? Anything, okay, cool. Anything good. Anything that displeases Allah. Very good. Anything that displeases Allah, right? So what is the reference here? The reference is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reference is Allah. Anything that displeases Allah is evil. Is this right or wrong? It's actually not wrong. But let me tell you one thing. It's not comprehensive. It doesn't cover all evil. Okay, other definitions of evil? What do you describe as evil? If you fail an exam, is that considered to be evil? And when I say evil, bad, okay? I'm going to add some synonyms to it. Evil is a whole class of things. It's a whole classification, okay? We say bad. We say detrimental. We say, I don't want to give you answers. So, but again, anything of sort of a negative charge. That's what we mean by evil, right? To include everything that we can. Any definition, brothers? Nothing, sisters? Sister over there. Anything that causes? Anything that brings about destruction and chaos in the world, meaning in any place, right? Anything that brings chaos and destruction. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to challenge this, so bear with me. So Allah says in the Quran about the believers when they took over Khaybar, يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ, about the some of the Jewish tribes, يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَيْدِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They destroy their own houses with their own hands and the hands of the believers. Isn't that destruction of property? Yes. And actually, the Muslims burnt a number of palm trees as well under the command of the Prophet ﷺ at the beginning. Isn't that destruction? Is that evil? Okay. So we're grappling with a concept that's not very easy to relate to. We thought, oh, evil is evil. Everyone knows evil, right? The Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, there will be chaos, right? There will be destruction. Is that evil? So if evil is everything that brings about chaos and destruction, does that mean the Day of Judgment is evil? Or what? Oh, the destruction on the Day of Judgment, is that evil? Particularly, these are big questions. They help us understand. But you know what? Okay, I'll come back to that later, inshallah. Any other definitions? Does anyone, okay, from the definitions we had so far, does anyone feel that they have a better understanding now? Did these definitions help you understand what evil a little more? We still, you know, stand still. Okay. Any other definitions, brothers? تفضل. بس be brief. مختصر مختصر مفيد. الله يبارك. طيب ما هو الشر؟ تعريف. يعني you asked to speak in Arabic, we gave you the permission. That's a different question. خلينا في السؤال. طيب ما هو الشر؟ What is evil? يعني what displeases Allah, right? طيب let's keep it there. Okay, any yeah brother over there. Harmful, something harmful, like what? Disease, injury, right? Natural catastrophe, a hurricane. Is that evil? Can we call this evil? Can we call natural disasters evil? Can we call them evil? Who says no? Who says yes? Who's not sure? You see how, like, we have different ideas of what is good or what's not. Okay, just to answer this question so we don't leave, you know, open threads in this. Allah says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. We try you, we test you with evil and good. As a test. If you go to the, refer to the books of tafsir, what is ash-shar here? We test you with evil. What is it? Natural disasters. Illness. So do you change your mind? Natural disasters evil? You can call them evil. You can call them evil. Yeah. You can call them evil. Okay. Other definitions. Help us get to understand it. You're like, honestly, like I'll be honest with you. I'll be blunt. From what you said, I am not getting a clearer understanding of what evil really means. So how am I going to answer the question, why does evil occur? We're running out of time. Go ahead. Sister at the back. Okay, so the things, practices, what was the first word? Something. Okay, generals. Something that goes against the morals that are set by society, by religions, or by human nature, right? Three things. Does that make sense? So something that goes against the morals. See, now we're talking about something different now. There is morality here involved. There is morality. So is it, okay, I have a different question for you. I don't think I'll be honest with you again. I'll be a little mean. You didn't do well. You did average. You did okay. Now I have another question for you, which is easier. Is there an entity or an element called evil that you can weigh it or you can measure it or you can point at it? Is there anything like this? Physical, tangible? Can you go to the shop and buy evil? Or buy it online, maybe, with cryptocurrency? Can you buy evil as an evil? So such a problematic concept. How are we going to answer a question that says, why does evil occur? So evil is not one thing. That's the conclusion. Evil first is not a thing. And it's not one thing. It includes so many things. And we are born with a system that recognizes that there is good and there is evil. And that's why in every language, in every culture, there is the concept of good and evil. But what happens, this fitra, this part of our fitra, which is the recognition of good and evil, and appreciation, celebration of good, and this kind of rejection of everything that is evil, is natural to all human beings, is part of our fitra. But what happens is that this fitra needs to be taken care of. It needs to be enhanced and developed. But what happens instead through our culture, through our upbringing and the external influence around us, what happens, these concepts get distorted. They get distorted. So, two main things that people refer to as evil. Moral evil. Moral violation. Despicable things that you find, again, that's not the definition of them, but that's a sign of them. You find them repulsive. You find them as a, they give you the sense of a violation to something sacred, something that should be sustained, something that should be taken care of, something that should be preserved. A violation. This is moral. So the sister there that she said moral violation. So there is evil that we refer to as moral, and this is about behavior, a crime. Someone commits murder. Someone commits zina. Right? Someone commits theft. For us, this is a moral action. Moral evil. This is an evil action, which is a moral evil. But we also call things that are detriment, where there is destruction, where there is disruption. There's disruption. There is damage. We also call this evil as well. And they are not the same. They are not the same. They're not the same. So when we are asking why does evil occur in the world, which evil are we talking about? Which evil are we talking about? So it seems to us that what the word evil or our usage of the word evil boils down to one thing. Things or counter forces that go against what we appreciate, what we value, what we like. We can call them destructive forces, detrimental forces. These are concepts that the scholars say, these are things you can't put a definition on, like the concept of love. If you try to find a definition of love, you would not be able to. And all of the definitions people have of love are descriptions of manifestations or signs of love, not love itself. You can't put a definition on love itself, the essence of love, you can't. The same thing applies to this. Everything that is intuitive, meaning everything that is part of your human nature, everything that is instilled in you, built in you, you're born with it. Part of your fitrah, you can't define it with your mind, because it's deeper than that. You can't define it with words. So evil, you can't define it, but you sense it. So what is the reality of evil? Evil is not an entity. It's not a thing. Evil is a judgment. Evil is a judgment. It's a judgment. It's either a moral judgment or a functional judgment. So when we are talking about moral violation, evil, any kind of sin, any kind of crime, this is moral evil. Anything that is of a destructive nature, right? Something that brings harm, the brother said harm. Something that brings harm, something that causes pain, something that pushes against your plans and your work and your actions, we call it evil. Counterforce. Anything that pushes against you, you call it evil. You define it automatically as evil. This is what it boils down to in our usage. So why do these two types of evil, why do they exist in the world? Now, I believe that this question or the attitude behind this question is very arrogant. It's very arrogant. And I also argue that the person who's asking this question is not really looking for answers, but they are just venting some kind of an inner crisis and a problem within them. You know why? Because we are here on this earth not to pass judgments. You're not here to evaluate the creation of Allah and the actions of Allah and the plans of Allah and what happens in the world. You know, philosophers and again some thinkers like to call this ontological truth. Ontological truth is what is happening, what's on the ground, the reality as it is. Allah did not place you on earth. Allah did not create us and place us on earth in order to pass judgments and classify what's going on and give it some sort of a quality Is it good or evil? Why did Allah create us? Allah says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. It is Allah who created death and life in order to test you, to test who will be best among you in terms of actions. So you are here on a mission. When you are not busy with your mission, you have enough time and luxury to start looking at the world and say, why is there so much evil in the world? And just that question shows that you don't understand why you're here on earth. It shows that we don't understand. I don't want to say you, let's say we. We don't understand what is the meaning of this life. Because this is why I said at the beginning that someone who asks the question, why is there evil in the world? These people are negligent. They are negligent of their duty and of their purpose in this life. How come? Someone asks a question. Because Allah said, the verse that we quoted in Surah Al-Mulk, that Allah created death and life in order to test you who's best in actions. The verse that we quoted before, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ, from Surah Al-Anbiya, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. And we test you with what? With evil and good as a test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He placed us on earth to test us. And He clarified as well what is the mechanism for testing us. He's going to test us with evil and good, with hardship and ease, with pain, suffering, and with ease and luxury. So Allah says, I'm placing you on earth and I am going to test you by means of what you call evil. By means of what you call evil. Evil in the sense of operational evil, in the sense something that disease, natural disaster, an injury, an accident, the death of a loved one, mental illness, anything that you call disaster, anything that's painful, anything that is harmful. The falling apart of your plans, your failing an exam, your business, you're losing your wealth, going through financial difficulty. Allah said, we're going to test you through these things. Right? But Allah also said, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ, and we're going to test you by means of evil and good. Allah will also test you by means of moral evil. By means of moral evil. Allah is going to allow moral evil to happen in this world at the hand of perpetrators so that you are tested by it. If it comes your way, how do you deal with it? How do you push back against it? And the second type of tests with moral evil is it is tempting. There will be situations in your life where it's tempting to commit moral evil, to lie, to cut corners, to deceive, to wrong others, to get advantage over others, to backbite, to speak about someone, to slander someone, to lie against someone, to get the upper hand over someone. And evil is not only by doing. There is evil by not doing. Not performing your prayer is what? Evil. Seeing someone who's about to die and not extending a hand to help them, it's evil. You can't say, I haven't done anything. Right? Because even by withdrawing, you are committing evil in situations like that. So Allah tests you by means of moral evil, and Allah tests you by means of existential or ontological evil, which is, again, we call it operational evil. Detriment, illness, disease, pain, struggle, suffering. Most of the struggle about, again, most of the questions that are asked today about evil, why does evil occur, or why is there evil in the world? People are not even talking about moral issues. People are talking about what? Pain. And this has been an observation by researchers in the social sciences. Most of people's questions about evil are actually questions about pain. Physical pain and psychological pain. So when someone says, why is there evil in the world? They're not really interested in knowing why evil truly exists. They are screaming. It's a scream from inside, from the pain that they are experiencing inside. And no amount of rationalization is going to help someone when they ask a question, when they're asking a figurative question. They are screaming. They're complaining about their pain. But what's dangerous about this stance, which we just mentioned earlier, is that when you are busy with your pain and you turn it into from an experience, from a personal experience, into an intellectual debate, into an ideological issue. Why is there evil in the world? Why does Allah, it gets worse, why does Allah allow evil in the world? Why does Allah allow suffering? Right? Allah is the merciful. Why is He allowing suffering? Why doesn't He create a world that is free from evil? Well, He already did, by the way. And He told you, I'm not going to put you in it yet. I'm going to put you here in a world where there is good and evil. That's what He said to us. I'm going to put you in a world that has good and evil, and there is a world that is purely good. And in order to enter it, you have to go through this life and choose good over evil. And you can't claim that connection to good. You have to manifest it through your lifestyle, through your life choices, in the most difficult times, the most challenging times, and the most tempting times. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. There is a world that is all good that you're asking for, that you're craving for, right? That's what I want. Why does Allah, if Allah is merciful, and is wise, and is almighty, and is able to do all things, and He created a world that is perfect, and there is no evil, and there is no place in it for evil. It's pure good. So why doesn't He put us in it? Well, if a world is purely good, only good ones are allowed to go into it, because if you allow evil people to go into it, you're going to have more Gaza. You're going to have more cheating. You're going to have more backbiting. So it's not going to be a good world. So Allah said, I'm going to put you through this world. Okay? If you truly crave that good, and if you really have an affiliation, an honest connection, an affiliation to good, live by it. And I won't leave you on your own. I'm going to give you the details. I'm going to show you how you recognize good from evil. So I make it easy for you. Here's an instruction book. Here's a real example. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's a generation, the companions radiallahu anhum. Here are personalities throughout the Muslim history, great scholars and personalities who manifested this as a lifestyle. Live by that. And you're going to be tested, because claims are easy. But when you are tested and when you are put in situations where it seems as though committing a violation, cutting corners, is going to get you what you want, that is the real test of whether you want good or evil. You choose evil, you can't make it to the world of good. Fair judgment. Fair judgment. So someone who says, why is there evil in the world? Why does Allah allow evil in the world? If Allah is merciful, why does He allow evil? Well, because Allah is merciful, He allows evil in the world. Because if Allah doesn't allow evil in the world, and Allah just keeps you together, this evil is going to perpetuate for eternity. But Allah is going to put an end to this evil. And it ends with what? Day of Judgment. لِيَجْعَلَ الْخَبِيثَ بَعْضَهُ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فَيَرْكُمَهُ جَمِيعًا فَيَجْعَلَهُ فِي جَهَنَّمْ. Allah said, Allah is going to bring evil all together, all of evil. Heap it on top of each other, throw it in the hellfire, that's where it belongs. It doesn't disturb anything else. It stays where it belongs. Jannah, purely good. No form of evil. No physical, no ontological, no moral. Allah says about them, you know, they don't feel pain, they don't worry, no stress, no sadness, they don't feel fatigue, and what? They only hear what's good. لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا. Even moral evil is not there. Even a bad word, a disturbing word, is not there, because it's evil. And then the ultimate top evil is what? Is the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah allows them to look at Him. As in the Sahihain, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know what? So the reason Allah allows evil in the world, And this is something, this is a secret, a beautiful secret. When good exists by itself, it's good. And this is an extension of the point that we said that Allah tests you with evil and good. Moral evil that Allah tests you with is evil in the world. Because without evil in the world, there will be no jihad, which is pushing against the evil. And the Prophet ﷺ said about jihad, which is striving for the truth, sacrificing for the truth. The Prophet ﷺ says, ذِرْوَةُ سَنَامِ الْإِسْلَامِ, the highest peak in Islam. Why? Because when there is good, it's good. But when there is evil, and good removes that evil, it becomes best. So it's because evil, because there is evil, there is best. There is the ultimate good. You can't reach that ultimate level of good without pushing against evil. And this is a fact, it's a universal fact. It even works in language. We can say Allah is the divine. Allah is al-ilah. Allah should be worshipped. Now you tell me, which statements are stronger? Affirmation, which is like good. Okay? Allah is the divine. Allah should be worshipped. Okay? Which is stronger semantically? This, or we say, no one should be worshipped. That's negation. No one should be worshipped but Allah. Which one is more stronger? The second one. That's why in Islam, it's not Allah is our Lord. Allah is our ilah. No, it's la ilaha illallah. It has to be negation and affirmation. And this is why you only get the highest level of good. When there is evil and the good works against it, it multiplies. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is just leads me to the finalize. Sorry, I took a little bit more than I should, but I want to arrive at this conclusion. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said in Shifa' al-Alil, his book about remedy or healing the one who is diseased with matters of the qadr. He says, evil. There is either pure evil, logical possibilities, pure evil situations, pure evil, or pure good, or in the middle, a mixture of good and evil. These are the only possibilities of a situation. Pure evil, pure good. Pure good exists. Pure evil does not exist. A situation that's pure evil does not exist. What remains is a mixture of good and evil. And a mixture of good and evil could be one of two things, or three things, three possibilities, logical possibilities. Either the good is greater than the evil, and that exists in the world. That's the only time evil exists in the world. When the good is greater than the evil, and in this case, the existence of the evil is necessary for that level of good. Or when good and evil are equal, this doesn't exist. Or when evil is greater than good, this doesn't exist. He says, Allah doesn't create this, Allah doesn't create this. The only possibility that remains is when there is more good than evil in this situation. Just like the man who got his son kicked by the horse, he looked at the situation from the standpoint of the injury, it's evil, correct. But when you look at the contextual meaning of this situation, it ended up being what? A greater good. A greater good. This is why Allah allows evil. Something similar. A few years back, I remember I was applying for a visa at one of the embassies and things like that. And I was in the waiting room and there was this young brother. Nice brother. So he was right next to me. We were talking. Never seen him before. So he says, I was studying, doing my university in Montreal. And we were playing basketball. So I asked him, what brought you back? He said, I've been here for about a year and a half back home. I said, what brought you back? He says, we were playing basketball and someone bumped into me really hard. And I fell on my head and I had a concussion and head injury. So I was rushed to hospital. And in my mind, I was thinking, oh, subhanAllah, like, this is tragic. Tragic. And he said, I had to, you know, quit my school, and I had to go back home. I said, how come? Was it that severe? He said, you know what? It was bad. But you know, and he said, I thought it was bad, and my family thought it was bad when they heard the news. But you know, when they scanned my head in the hospital, they found a tumor, undetected tumor, asymptomatic. There was no symptoms. And they caught it at the right time. He said, the medical staff, they said, you know, maybe if you just waited for 2 more months, you'd have been gone. You would have been gone. No, like, there's no chance you could live, you could survive. We caught that at the right time. So when we talk about evil, we're talking from our small angle of life. But you need to know that Allah only allows evil in the world. Allah, in His wisdom, in His mercy, and in His might and power, allows evil in the world only in as much as it is necessary for a greater good. That if Allah were not to allow this evil to happen, right? Or not allow this good to happen, just because He doesn't want this evil, lesser evil to be, then that would be a greater evil, and Allah does not commit evil. Make sense? Allah only allows evil when it's necessary for a greater good to happen, that the non-existence of this good would be a greater evil than the evil that is necessary for it. That's the only time Allah allows evil in the world. That's why there is evil in the world. Is the question answered? If you feel it's answered, put your hand up for you. It's a very subjective matter. You don't have to be nice with me, by the way. Okay, alhamdulillah, cool. Cool, jazakumullah khair. Okay, so I'm supposed to be done by now, but I want to give you 2 minutes for very quick questions. Only if we can answer them quickly, I would address them. Quick, brothers. Excellent question. The brother says, you said that there is always greater good than evil. So why Allah says about alcohol, gambling, that there is greater evil in them than good? So why does Allah allow them to happen? Perfect. This is where you have to, when we think, we have to travel through different contexts. Expand the context. Crime is evil. Murder, there's greater evil in murder than non-murder. If you take it individually. Maybe if you take it within a family. Maybe if you take it in this neighborhood. But in the grand scheme of things, Allah knows. And most of the time, we don't see these connections. The perpetration of this crime, although it's evil, and the one who does it will be punished for it and is held accountable for it, its existence brings about, in ways we don't know, greater good. And Allah says, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. The knowledge that you were given is very little. So we have to understand that we can't possibly get every detail. But as long as you understand the principle, your heart is at peace. Okay, sisters, quick question. Okay, brothers, another chance. Okay, so I just want to close with this one. The ultimate definition of what's good, the ultimate definition of what's good is what Allah loves. And the ultimate definition of what's evil is what Allah dislikes. Allah instilled in us a basic device to help us, which communicates with us through taste. But this taste could get corrupted. It could get corrupted. Okay? That's the ultimate definition of good and evil. So Allah allows what He dislikes into existence only when it is necessary, in the dynamics that He placed in this world, and these dynamics are necessary for testing humans in a fair manner. Allah only allows what He dislikes in as much as they are necessary for a greater thing that He loves. So Allah only allows evil for something that He loves and something that's good. And Allah doesn't love anything that is evil, obviously, because the definition of good comes from Allah in the first place. Okay, so I hope this clarifies, at least gets you thinking about why does evil occur in the world. You realize it's an outcry of pain. It's not a real question. And maybe it's better to approach it not with logical answers and intellectual answers. Maybe it's actually with helping the person, you know, navigate this world and realize that we are processing the world based on a worldview that we were taught in schools, that we were taught in from people around us, that is at variance with Islam. Islam solves, you know, this. Islam prevents this before it happens. But because we are functioning at thinking modes and thought systems that are corrupted, that don't reflect the reality of this life, you know, we bump into these dead ends and we have a lot of pain. Yes, inasmuch as we depart from Islam, even unconsciously, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people in the hellfire, that they would turn to their leaders, to their influencers and say, you know, that we were just following you, right? We were just following you. Why did you lead us to the hellfire? It's not like they were telling them what to do, but they were educating them. It's more subtle. It's not like, it's not overt influence, it's covert influence. What they instilled in them about life and what life is about and how they should carry themselves in life, which most of us think we're very intelligent, we're doing that. But we don't realize that most of our life we're taking for a ride, and that's why we're struggling. Jazakumullah khair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.